Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. So today it's Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. When we were last at it, well, Jesus had set his face for Jerusalem. It was very clear. Wanted to stay in a Samaritan town that really didn't want him. So went on to another town, but had to calm down James and John. They kind of wanted to rain fire on the town that didn't want Jesus. And then this. So here it is, Luke 9, 57 to 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So some pretty harsh words, you know? If you remember earlier on in this chapter, so like last week, Jesus said that followers would need to pick up their cross and follow him. Basically saying it wouldn't be easy. And here at the end of the chapter, that's sort of reiterated. It's not easy. We get a couple of snapshots, right? Someone, we don't know who, just someone said, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus says, somewhat cryptically, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Is he saying that he's homeless? Is he saying that he gets no rest? Is he saying that he has no home? I mean, I guess if everywhere is your home, then nowhere is your home. I don't know. I think at the very least, Jesus is saying this isn't easy. Now, I've had people say, "Well, this is Jesus actually talking about what it is to be homeless," and that's okay. And then I've heard people say, "Well, if it's okay for Jesus, then it must be okay for that guy, that woman on the street." So surely I can't believe that that's what Luke intends, nor what Jesus intended. I don't really think this is a story about Jesus being in solidarity with those who don't have a place to live. I think this is Jesus simply saying, this is hard and wearisome, and you don't really get a rest. That's the thing. Foxes have holes. Foxes go into holes to sleep, to rest. Birds of the air have nests. They settle in their nest to relax. They have the familiar. And Jesus is saying, that's not what it's like. So if you want to follow me, you need to understand that it's constant. You're never on a break. Although there are times that Jesus gets away to pray, but for brief periods of time. It baffles me a little bit. I suppose, though, that really this is just about Jesus being clear that following him is not a path to comfort or luxury. And you go, well, yeah, that's kind of obvious, but if you look at the way that faith is advertised these days, not just Christianity, but certainly Christianity. Christianity is very good at this, often very good, promising these great rewards. And I've often referred to friends that I grew up with, friends that I have, who, you know, believe that their faith has led them to be wealthy, has led them to be successful in business. They own a big home because they've been faithful and God has rewarded them. They don't get sick because they're faithful and God rewards them. And that all is all well and good until someone's diagnosed with cancer. And then they're baffled as to why God would punish them so. It's all well and good until there's a market turn and suddenly their savings are wiped out. And then they wonder why God's so angry at them. I think that Jesus right up front is saying, that's not how this is. Faith is not about that. You're not going to have a fabulous foxhole and a wonderful nest. You might be able to get to stop here or there, but that's not what faith is going to lead you to. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Doesn't mean that life is always difficult for Jesus. Jesus enjoys the company of others. Invites himself into people's homes and celebrates with them, has meals with them. I think there's often great joy in the life of Jesus. But it is not a path that is going to lead you to a feathered nest. It's not a path that's going to lead you to comfort. You might be comfortable, but that's not the end goal. The end goal is to share the kingdom of God, right? To let people know that God is in the world. And so it's not easy, and it's not about you. I will follow you wherever you go. Is this person desiring to change the world, or is this person desiring to feel good about themselves? I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying, it feels good to have purpose. It feels good to be involved in something bigger than myself. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're following Jesus because you think it's the way that you're going to get a bigger house, you think it's the way that you're going to protect yourself from the outrageous the slings and fortune. Slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. There you go. Thank you, Shakespeare. That's not the way it works. But it's still worth doing, right? So it is about something bigger than you. And so you accept that. Say, okay, that's great. But first, let me go bury my father. Now, when you read that, my first thought is, let me go and bury my father, which means dad just died. I got to go and have his funeral. How long can that take? Right? I mean, if bury my father, if he's Jewish, I mean, so it's today, right? This is not something that's going to take place a lot. This is now. So he's just died. I need to go and bury him. I'll be with you in a day or two. Well, we may sit Shiva for a while. Okay, so, but I'm coming. But I need to honor my father that way, right? That's one of the Ten Commandments, surely, isn't it? Honor thy father. So that's a thing I should probably do, Jesus stuns them by going, oh no, let the dead bury their own dead. Now, there are those who would translate it and say, well, it's not really, I need to go bury my father, meaning he's dead. It's, I need to go bury my father, meaning he is in the last stage of his life. He is old, he is sick, he is going to die soon. I need to be with him in his final days and then bury him. I don't think that's an unfair translation from the Greek. I think that's pretty good. I think the more obvious is that my dad's dead and I need to bury him, but I think it could work the other way too. I mean, there's idioms that I don't appreciate and none of us necessarily appreciate, you know, what that actually means, but I don't think it changes the meaning of the story. I don't think it changes Jesus' response. I need to go and honor my father, and Jesus basically says, no, let the dead bury their own dead. And that seems incredibly harsh. Jesus, really? Wow, I can't go and honor my father? Another one said, I'll follow you, but first let me say farewell to those in my home. Just let me go say goodbye to my mom and everybody. And Jesus goes, No. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So once you decide to follow me, no more looking back at your family. No. What you need to do is now stay focused. And I'm sure most of you appreciate what it would be to plow, or at least you've been told this, you know. Yeah, I don't know how many of us have actually manually plowed a field, but even, you know, with a tractor or pulled by ox, the thing with dry the plow is to keep focus on a spot in front of you, right? There's a tree, there's a rock, there's that. You just keep looking right at that, and you keep aiming towards that. And that's going to give you that nice straight furrow that you're after, right? So I think that's what we're saying. No, you need to keep your eye on the prize. You need to look, and that is following Jesus. So you can't follow Jesus and say goodbye to your family. Jesus said earlier, you're going to have to pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus keeps saying it's not easy. It's not easy. And this is a sign of that, as Luke wants to make that point. I don't know that all this happened, like, you know, in one moment. Jesus was there and someone said one thing, another person said another thing, and the whole thing, like, can I go bury my father? Oh, can I go say goodbye to my family? I don't know that all happened at the same time. But we've heard these kind of, you know, things said to Jesus. We've heard these responses, and so we've just stuck them all together here to emphasize once again, this isn't easy. But I still struggle with dishonoring your family. I mean, I appreciate how important the kingdom of God is. I am proclaiming it. I've got that. But you're not the only one doing it. I mean, it's not like you are, like Jesus has one apostle. No, Jesus has the 12 and the disciples and other followers. There's other people out there. Your father has a limited number of children who are caring for him at the end of his life, which seems to me to be compassionate and kind. So I struggle a little bit with what seems to be very harsh words coming from Jesus. Going to say goodbye to my family. Just going home to say, Mom, I don't need you to worry about me. I'm following Jesus now. Seems to be respectful of your mother. Seems to be kind and just thing to do. Doesn't say that it's 4 days journey away, and therefore he's going to be 8 days behind everybody by the time he goes all the way there and comes all the way back. Doesn't say that. Simply says, I just want to go say goodbye to my family. That, to me, seems to be, again, honoring your mother. It seems a kind and compassionate thing to do. So what's Jesus' problem? Well, what if this isn't actually about your dad or your family? What if this is about your faith? So Jesus, I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to follow you, absolutely. But just let me bring along my Jewish practice. Let me bring along my father, my Judaism. Let me bring along those practices, that by keeping kosher, the purity laws. Let me bring all of that with me. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. It isn't a condemnation of the Jewish faith, but Jesus is saying, yeah, we are going to do this differently. See, you can do one thing or the other, but you can't do both. You're going to follow me, or you're going to stay with your father. And that's fine, but you can't do both. Let's remember, at the time this gospel is written, this is past the time of Paul, and Paul had a horrible time with these literalist Jewish Christians following him, saying, you've got to follow the laws of Moses. And Paul going like, I'm not doing that. And they were out to get him. Ultimately, they are probably responsible for Paul's death. They certainly dogged his heel at every step, and they spoke out against him all the time. So we're a generation past that, as we're getting into this gospel and these stories are being told, and it's like, no, that isn't the way. We've come through that. You now have to choose. By the time this gospel is written, Christianity is not a Jewish reform movement anymore. It is different. So maybe this is Luke recalling Jesus' words and using them as a reminder, you can't be both an observant Jew and a follower of Jesus. You're going to have to give up some of your observances. That's how that's going to be. You're going to have to go and be around Samaritans. You know, you're going to give up some of those purity rituals. You're going to have a different attitude towards things. Maybe you're not going to keep kosher anymore. No, let the dead go and bury their own dead. A little harsh, but I think it might be Luke's harshness more than Jesus. But that makes a little more sense to me. But let me go back and say farewell to those in my home. Again, let me go back and visit where I was. No, you can't go back where you were. So historically, I might think that this could be about being Jewish and becoming a Christian in the first century. Got to choose one or the other. Not necessarily one that's bad, but you know, if you're fit for the kingdom of God, means you're going to share the kingdom of God, then you got to keep your eye on that prize and not keep looking back to who you used to be, where you used to live. No, we're now going forward. Thing is, I don't live in the first century. I'm not a first century Jew who's become Christian or is thinking about it. I am 21st century Christian. So what does this say to me? Well, my faith is not easy, and it requires me to give some things up. And here's the thing. I don't always want to give things up. Quite often, I'm either both kind of guy. You know? So, I want to be a follower of Jesus. But I really love to get together with my friends and talk smack about that guy down the street. Oh, man. You know what he's like. I really like to be a follower of Jesus, but there is no way I am going to forgive those people. I will vilify them. I will pray for their demise, not their redemption, not their healing, not their wholeness. No. I don't actually want them to repent. I want them to suffer and be punished. See, that's the old way of being. That's the culture I grew up in. Good guys, bad guys. Then faith introduced me this concept that we are all children of God, and maybe we don't talk about good guys, bad guys anymore. That there is redemption and repentance and forgiveness. Oh wow, I don't know. Listen, I'll be a follower of Jesus, but every now and again, I want to go and visit my vengeful friends, we can throw rocks at bad guys. No, you can't do that. If you're going to keep your eye on the, put your hand to the plow, you got to keep your eye going forward. Nobody who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Norm, you can't be who you were and continue to be who you are. If you are a person of faith, you let some things go. I think I've referenced this before, long ago. A friend, wasn't a friend then, he was just a person I'd met, who came to become a minister. I happened to be part of the interview that recognized his call and therefore led to his ordination. And he talked about being a drummer in his previous life, where he came from, and he was a drummer, and he had given up drumming as he grew in his faith. And after the interview, and it was a very successful interview, other people on the panel, two of them I remember in particular, saying, and I really hope, so-and-so, that you'll go back to your drumming, that you'll be able to, you know, that you'll do that and recognize that as part of who you are. And after he left, I spoke to them and said, I don't think we have the right to say that. I have no idea what drumming represents in his life. Drumming may be a thing that he did in places where he was surrounded by people that no longer fit his lifestyle. So for him, drumming is stepping backwards, and he wants to go forwards. It's all well and good for us, so you can have everything. But the thing is, Jesus says, no, you can't have everything. You can have enough, but you can't have everything. So you don't just get to sort of go back to the familiar every now and again. No. If your path forward is taking you away from that, then you don't go back. You keep moving forward. Yeah, but I love my drumming. It's part of music. It's just part of who I am. Yeah, but there's a reason you've stopped doing it, right? I'm not saying you have to quit it, but you've made that decision. So having made that decision, then stay with your decision, right? That, to me, that's what's going on in this. And so I think about the things that I have given up in my life, things that I once did, I no longer do because my faith has taken me there. Every now and again, there is a desire to sort of go back there. But my faith doesn't allow it. I don't have to condemn those who do that, or those people that I once knew. I don't have to condemn them, but I don't need to go back. If I have recently become sober, I know I want to go back to the bar to visit my friends, because that's where all my friends were. They were in the bar all the time. I'm just going to go back. I'll just have club soda and eat pretzels. Like, it'll be fine. Except that the first time I tried that, I realized, oh my God, it's not fine. And pretty soon, I've lost my sobriety, because I told myself I could have it all. Okay, that's not my story, but I know that story. Many people have told me that story. You know, this idea that I found my faith, I found my sobriety, I found whatever thing I was looking for, I got it, and then I tried to take it back into my old life and discover they were incompatible. And to me, what Jesus is saying is, following me, this faith is difficult. It's not about your comfort. Very often it means you can't go back to where you once were. You can't go back and be who you were. You have to make a choice. I don't know, that's what I'm getting out of it today, but there's probably something more in there too. So I'm going to leave that with you to see what you think. And I think I'll just simply offer a prayer. So let us pray. Loving God, thank you for Jesus' words and Luke's gospel. Thank you for the time and space to wonder about them both and hear what they might be saying to us today in this century. God, thank you for those moments in wonder when we begin to hear your voice emerge. When it speaks to us clearly, let us follow. When it's hard to hear your voice, let us relax and with imagination try again. God, let us continue to be engaged with Scripture and with you, that we might grow in faith. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's enough of me today, but I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Until I get to see you, God bless you. Please know that God sees you and knows you and loves you exactly as you are. Whether you're looking forward or looking back, God still loves you. And know that God's love doesn't just stay with you, but moves through you into the world and makes a difference. So thank you for being you. God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.